If you'll turn over to Romans this morning, chapter 8. We'll look into the Word of God here just for a little bit. And you know, it is a blessing to be able to look into the Word of God. You think about, and Mr. Grizzle made a comment this morning about something he'd been studying and got to thinking and something. You think about the people that's died to protect this Bible. And the Word of God, people right now we don't know, probably couldn't call their names. But, well, I mean, as far as this nation goes, we've always stood on, founded on the Bible, and the principles that it taught. And even our forefathers, we were talking about that Wednesday night. There were some that were agnostic, but they at least knew that you had to have a Christian society. And they believed in the things of God and believed in God. But you go back even further than that. This Bible was hid, and you can say smuggled or whatever you want, around some people's homes. And you remember that I mentioned him, and you guys remember the guy that was here with the Bibles that time. And some of the stories he would tell about how those Bibles were protected and guarded, and how people gave their life not to give it up. And myself included, sometimes I stop and read the words out of it and don't think about what it cost to have it. You know, it's one of the, I hope it still stays that way, one of the books that you can get in most places. If you want one bad enough, somebody will give you one. Won't even charge you for it. And probably, not probably, but it will help you more than any other thing you'll buy off the shelf. And so I just thought about that as we were talking about that earlier, as we read His Word this morning. It is a blessing. Romans chapter 8, I won't read the whole chapter. Let's look at, and hopefully something like I said, this morning be better than a cup of coffee. Get us pepped up. Get us thinking about the things of God. Get us ready for the service. And let's look at Let's look at verse number 17, and we'll go through, I don't know, verse 17 through mid 20s there. Find a place to stop. Got a couple places. I'll mention a few things, and we'll be done. And verse 17 said, "And if children, then heirs of God." Right there, we could stop and say hallelujah. And this morning, be thankful and not stay right there. But if we continue on, says, "And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know not that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which, for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." We'll stop reading right there for right now and see how the Lord leads us. And looking there, this morning, reading, pray for me as I was trying to read there. I was going across the words, and my words are starting to run together. And I was thinking today, and put my contacts in. Maybe I should have got my glasses, and that's something I'm going to have to work on. Getting old enough, I may have to use the old bifocals. But this morning, we'll be fine. I'll just get down here a little closer, and I'll be able to see that. So let's look at verse number 17, and it's something I want to point out. Just one little phrase there: if so be that. If you stop and you think about that, that means sense. And we was just talking about what people had suffered to keep this Bible safe, to bring it to us and to carry it, then also this country to defend it and the Word of God. And he's been a friend of Israel for all these many years. Go back and read the history. That when Israel was established, it was more our seat at the table, so to speak, the United States. Go back and read that history. The Russians, they didn't want to see a nation of Israel. France, by the way, they were another one who were opposed to it. But back in that day, in the late 40s, Lord had blessed this nation. We're still blessed. But when we sat down at the table and voiced our support for Israel, I think that just boosted our nation at that time. And again, we'd been blessed. And the other nations, they feared the sovereignty of this country, and they weren't about to speak against that. And I'm afraid we're losing that, the support we have. And that's a whole other subject off on the side, I know. But that's something that this nation's always been good about and always been supportive of Israel. But that goes back to the keeping of the Word and the original churches and how they were scattered when they were persecuted. So if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and if so be that, or in other words, since we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. In other words, we all share an inheritance together. I know Brother Gary Turbefield's mentioned a lot about family, church family. And he's exactly right. And just like a family would do, we share in the inheritance. When we all sit down at the table as a family, y'all tend to share together. And when we have our meals over here, the ladies, I thought about this as I studied, and they have the two separate tables now and kind of move us through a little faster because, you know, we're in the drive-through world. I was talking to the pastor the other day. We may just put a drive-through over there at one of them doors, and we just drive around on every next time we have a meal after service. See, and for those that you back in out there, and I'm one of them, you can just pull out and go right around, order in one window, pick it up at the next. We can use the teenagers there to get it out. But and that, you know, we're just kidding. But we did that so we could get everybody in. But what I'm leading to is they do their best to make sure the tables are even. In other words, there's meat on this table, certain type, or some on the other. In other words, we all share in the same thing. And that's a simple example, I know. But that's how it is in God's kingdom, too. We all share in the inheritance. There's no big I's. There's no little U's. Everybody's on a level playing field. And as you go through, and we go through the line in there, that's the same difference. You pick your line, and whatever's on one side, they try to keep same as the other. So that we may that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now that word reckon there means calculate, add, subtract, multiply, divide. And I got puzzled by that. I said, now why would that be here? Because if you go back and you read over in chapter 7, just briefly, and I'll read you a couple things. And we'll just kind of point some things out, and you're already familiar with this, I'm sure. Chapter 7 is where we talk about the struggle of the two natures. Talk about law and sin. That's where, if you recall, just where Paul says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Remember, that's that whole chapter there, law and sin, struggles of the two natures of man. Even after we're saved, we struggle with the flesh. You go back over in verse number 8, and I thought about that. I said, well, now that follows up chapter 7. And here he says, I calculate, or I reckon, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, he's saying, it's all worth it. That reckon there would have been an accounting term. In other words, it's like Paul took account. I've still got my pen in my hand, too. I'm bad about that. But it's like he took a, sat down with a ledger, so to speak. And he added it up on one side, said, okay, sufferings. And then he added up on the other side and said, you know, it's not worthy. It doesn't add up to the glory that's going to be revealed. In other words, so he was talking earlier, if you could, and we can't do this, but you wonder if the ones that didn't, They ran from Jerusalem. They ran from other countries, took the Bible with them. I mean ran, they fled from persecution. They'd been stoned, been beaten, been put in jail. I remember the guy that brought all those Bibles. He mentioned the story about in Germany. And they were warlike tribes. And, of course, they were under the influence of the Catholic Church. And a lot of them were. And And that's just, they were at the time, didn't have a Bible. But go back and it gave examples of ones that would be caught with the Bible and the trouble they would get into. And sometimes the wife would have to, for the sake of saving the kids, would have to, you know, turn her husband in or testify against him or whatever it may be. And sometimes when they wouldn't, they'd wipe out the whole family. And as you think about, Paul looked almost like down through time and jotted this down for us or written in Scripture by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to say, no matter what you suffer in persecution, no matter what comes our way as Christians, if you put it on the ledger, you know, sometimes you get told, people do, and we tell our kids this sometimes, and I don't know if it works or not. I've been told this, and I've tried it, and I think we still end up doing what we want to do. But, you know, people say, well, write down the positives and the negatives. And if the positives are more than the negatives, then it's something you should do. But if the negatives outweigh the positive, maybe you shouldn't do it. And I find out human nature, you can always figure out more positives if you want to as you're writing down on the paper, whether they make sense or not. But Paul's not doing that. He compared apples to apples, so to speak, oranges to oranges. And still, as he tells us in this verse, you can't compare the two. So what the Lord has, and this kind of, I guess, goes back to the pastor's message and message we'd heard two Sundays ago, I guess it was, talking about God has a plan for all of us, and has a position for us and a direction for you here in the church. He's got everybody he needs. And whatever that may be, and whatever you do for the Lord, if you were to put it on a ledger, it still outweighs any persecution you get for that. Let's say you get a lot of doors slammed in your face when you go out on visitation, or you've been a witness at work, and now they don't want to have anything to do with you. They kind of, maybe not ridicule you, but kind of run the other way when they see you coming, so to speak. You know, everybody likes to be accepted or at least spoken to, but you put God first in your life. And what he's saying is the payoff in the end is much greater. It'd be like an investment, is what Paul's saying. He said, you've made that. You've committed yourself to Christ. You've been saved. You've accepted him as your Savior. And no matter what you suffer here, it's going to be better later on. I spent a lot of time there, and I really didn't mean to. I just had jotted that one thing down as I was studying it. Calculate, I wrote it right above that word reckon. And I spent a lot of time there. Let's move on. I didn't mean to do that, but I guess that was as much for me as it was for you guys. Maybe more so for me, to keep that in mind. To speak up sometimes, not sit back. Verse number 19, for the earnest, that means intense expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, waits for the appearing of the sons of God. If you look there at that verse 19, that creature means creation. So creation's even waiting. Not even us. It's almost like an unveiling, so to speak, it's going to be. Verse number 20 says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. So what it's saying is creation had nothing to do with the fall of man. But yet they were cursed as well. You remember over in Genesis here, I'll turn there in just a second, read you a verse from there to kind of bring back in remembrance. But it said, for the creature was made subject. In other words, we were put under. The creature, what a creation, was put under or made obedient to vanity. In other words, become profitless. Nothing to it. Not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Stay right there. Let me turn over here and read that verse to you. Genesis 3. The curse. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. I would put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And here's what I was getting to. I thought that this was two verses ahead, and it wasn't. But verse number 18, I was thinking 16. said, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return into the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou turn, and to dust shalt thou return. In other words, the ground and the earth itself was cursed as well. And so all of God's creation looks for the day of his return. That's right. Looking for him. We should be looking for him, looking up, wondering if today is going to be the day. And you think about, I've heard before, it might have been Brother Ralph or someone mentioned before, sitting out and here listening to the birds in the backyard. You can hear them singing, or get up early. I know a lot of people, if they go to work early or outside or just open the windows, I know this time of year sometimes, and you can hear the birds singing and chirping. Got a happy melody going, you know. And I remember my mother used to tell me, she'd say, they're singing the praises of God. And I'd say, well, I can't understand what they're saying. She said, just listen to it. She goes, it's a happy tune. They're looking. And you think about that. I, as a kid, I used to take that for granted. But I think this here is what she was referring to. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. In other words, it didn't have nothing to do with the fall of man, and nothing that the creation had done, that God had created. It was man himself. And you think about it. Man was, I guess, I don't want to say ultimate, but it was like the top of God's creation, because he put Adam in charge of everything he created. And he was the reason for the fall. Man was, mankind. In verse number 21, if we look at there, let me read verse 21. I got another place just come to mind I want to read. Because the creature, creation, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now here's something I want to read for the ones who, and I know there's no one here, but may not believe in the foundation of the world or God or as far as creation goes, and creation in general, just creating where we're at in our lives and man and mankind and everything we see and the skies as we look upon it, etc. That if you read this. Let me read this to you. It just came to mind. I think about it. It show you that it's not vanity. It's not profitless of the things of God, if it is of God. I want to show you here just a second. And if I can find it, come to mind. It's in Ecclesiastes. I think it's chapter 1. Here it is. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? We've had a lesson on that before, just talking about, you know, and it goes right back to, I guess, what Pastor's mentioned a few times that Mr. Griswold mentioned to him. That just come to mind, too. It's not going to matter in 100 years. That's what Solomon's saying there. What profit do you have? You can't take it with you. And, you know, later on, that's when, and I think about that a lot. You know, later on, he says, why if the next fella coming along behind you's a fool? So you spend all this time accumulating all this wealth, and you die suddenly, and next fella gets it and blows it all. But anyway, that's just my take on that. That's a side note here. One generation passes away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. In other words, start talking about the motion that's been set in place and how the sun comes up in the morning. As we've down in Florida, I could count on going over to the one side of the island. We'd get photos of the sun coming up that evening. We'd go to the other side, get pictures of the sun going down. It was set in continual motion. And as you look at that and see, this is King Solomon, his point or his take on creation. And how if you look upon, you know, we can go back over and read in Romans actually as well, over in chapter 1, I believe it is, start looking and just by looking around, know there's a God. People say, well, they haven't heard the gospel preached. Or there's something in man innately to know that there's a higher power. There is. Let me read this to you. Solomon, that's what he's trying to tell us here. And I apologize kind of going off the path, but just coming to mind. Said, the sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. We have no control over that. That happens. I got all the kids out yesterday and cleaned up all these leaves and stuff. I got up this morning. It's worse yesterday today than it was yesterday. That's what happened. And I didn't have anything to do with it. You know, that's just the way the wind blew. Coming a little shower last night, here it came. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about to the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea. Oh, I love this one. I remember this as a child. Miss Paulette in Sunday school class would read this to us. And even as a kid, I'd think on this. I really would. Let me read it. I mean, it puzzled me. Of course, we know, but I mean, I'm talking when I was just 6 or 7 years old, about Maggie's age, I'd think on this one hard. Let me read it to you. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. And boy, that'd puzzle me. I'd try to fill a pot up, I remember, get home, and it'd overflow. And I'd say, why ain't the sea full? All the rivers running, because we live close to the Mississippi River, you know, so I knew how the volume of water, and I thought, well, that's always running into the Gulf of Mexico. Why ain't it filling up? Florida should have been washed away a long time ago. Texas, half of it should be underwater. It said, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come. Thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. See, now it gets to us. See, that's why that come to mind at 5, 6, and 7 about the sun and the wind and the rivers. Just continue on. Here they go. God set all that in motion. Man can't stop that. I know a lot of times you hear a lot of this stuff. And I think we do need to be environmentally friendly. And what I mean, we don't need to be throwing our garbage out going down the road. You know, certain things we need to watch and try to take care of. But the statement I'm getting to is man's going to destroy this world, well, we can't destroy it. These things won't stop. God set them in motion. Now, you may have to live in a chemical cesspool or something. I don't know. You know, my uncle, he does a lot of work for OSHA and for the state. And, you know, they ran across people just dumping 55-gallon drums full of chemicals or whatever before he's had to go clean up and getting in the water supply. You know, that's different. But just in general, the sun still came up those days and it set the next day or later in the day. But here, as we get to verse number 8, let me read it to you. We're thinking more about, here's where man comes into play. It said, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. See, we want more. Nor the ear filled with hearing. Tell me more. I want to hear more. Sometimes when Solomon's talking about that, he doesn't mean more of the gospel. We're wanting to hear more. Sometimes it's more gossip. Sometimes it's more things that are displeasing to our ear. Sometimes our eyes, I think about the lust of the eye, you wanting to see more. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Man, and Mr. Grizzle, I think about a lesson he had taught. It's been a couple years ago. It's just the same today as it was years ago. Nations are still in the same shape. Problems that still exist. You know, I used Israel earlier and the formation of the nation there in the late 40s. They're still, most of those nations over there would like to push them off into the ocean. They wish they weren't there. They're still fighting in the Middle East. As long as I know, there's always been trouble over there. Countries are still in economic problems. It's almost like you could pick up a paper from 100 years ago and read it, and it'd almost be the same as it is today. In other words, there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, and we may stand up and say, see, this is new. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. And that's what puzzles me. Why don't we look back at history and learn? The Bible tells us right here, there's nothing new. It's all of old time. Talking about mankind. You know, I think about, and you guys, because I'm going to remember, the handwriting on the wall. Who was the king? He was Nebuchadnezzar's Belshazzar. Thank you. If you read that closely, see, that would have been, and depending on who you read after, that was either a mother or a grandmother that was the queen at the time that had come out. But when she mentions Daniel, in that verse, if you'll read that, you can see he should have known who that was. In other words, he should have known Daniel, or at least heard of him, knew there was a man of God in the kingdom. He should have known better. He would have known what happened to his granddad, so to example. In other words, he should have looked back at history and say, wait a second. he was out in the field for 7 years, had feathers in his back, long nails. You know, he should have known about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And maybe he did, but he just, that's not today. In other words, what Scripture would say, or Solomon would tell him, is there's nothing new. That's all of old. In other words, you're just repeating the same thing that your granddad did or your ancestors. And look at us today. Where are we at? Same place. That goes back to I hope as a church as a whole, not just here at Bible Way, but as a church that stands for the gospel and as pastors stand and preach, as we go back and we think about what our ancestors would be, the ones that fled from persecution, they hid their Bible. They put it under their bed, so to speak, is the way I like to think about it. Or somebody'd come knocking on the door. You don't have one of those Bibles, do you? Oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Or they'd share a page out of it with somebody else. And then look at where we are today, sitting on this hill in Kingsport, Tennessee, getting to look into the Word and read. There's nothing new. It's all of old time. And there's still people that's anti-God. They'd like to see things of God pushed aside, just like they would back in those times when the early church was founded. Go back and read back in Acts. Nobody threw rocks at us this morning, but that didn't mean we might not get to that place again. But think about that. I don't know how I got on that. I was completely different from what we were talking about this morning, but there's my alarm. Here, just a couple more things. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance. This goes back to that comment that Mr. Grizzle or the pastor made about 100 years from now. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I think about this as I read that verse. And you know, as we think about that, we'll remember each other, hopefully. We were brothers and sisters in Christ, and might remember somebody you went to church with for a while, or a friend or a neighbor. But most of the time, after the generation passes that are your children, maybe grandchildren, you'll be lost to memory. That's right. I might go back home now, and if I were to mention my dad's name, and they not know who I was, most of them would say, I don't think I know that fella. Where does he live? That's true. Now, he means a lot to my brother and I, and, you know, family. But what Solomon's telling you is that, you know, there's more important things in life. That's the cycle of things. The rivers still run to the Gulf of Mexico, still Mississippi does, still fills, doesn't fill it up, still that cycle. Water still comes back down when the rain comes, fills up the small streams, fills up the river, runs back, it continues on. Sun goes up, sun comes down. There's nothing new. And in our lives, we need to look to see where we're at each and every day. Because I think sometimes we think we're leaving a legacy. I went and hear this fella, and what come to mind just now, and what I mean by legacy, we need to remember our treasures are in heaven, not here. And that's what we need to keep in mind as we work each day for the Lord. I went and heard a fellow speak, and he did a real good job. Actually, I thought it was at some time mentioning Brother Johnny. And I didn't know who he was, and he'd got hurt playing football. And I was at a meeting. I had time to wait before I had to leave. And he was the last thing. I don't know who this is, but I'll go listen to him. And he got paralyzed on his right side, I guess it was, made a tackle or something, paralyzed him. He was supposed to be like number one draft pick and make millions of dollars. And I remember a comment he made, and he'd said that he was encouraging people to, he was a Christian, and said he'd been saved afterwards because he said he got so down, you know, got depressed, wanted to take his own life, and God showed him there was more for him to do. And what I'm getting to is he said, though, he remembers showing up on campus, and they asked him, they said, you know, this was before he was saved. They asked him, they said, oh, do you want to be one of the ones remembered here, and you know, as one of the great players and a five-star player in the tops? And he said his comment to him is, I want to be a legend. Always remember me. And sometimes I think that's what we think our lives will be as we work and toil for things down here. Is we think, oh, they'll remember us, we'll be a legend. You know, sometimes I out running and I think Gary's this way too. I've mentioned him 2 or 3 times this morning. He must have been talking about me. You know, somebody always comes to mind, but I mention him, and that's because on my mind, the way he talks about us being a family, and you'll hear him say that if you've ever heard him in any service, he'll mention that. And I think when he goes to Washington, D.C. and places with his family, they don't let him read these signs and stuff. And I like to do that. I'll stop and read them. Kim will say, come on, the kids say, where's Dad? He's back there reading that sign about somebody 1622 or something, you know. And you know, they might have thought they were going to be a legend or remember too. But all I remember reading is just on that sign. I don't know anything else about them. And you know what? It really amounted to nothing, according to Solomon, unless they were saved and they got their treasures and their place in heaven. Adds up to nothing. So keep that in mind. I got a couple more. Let me look right here at the time. I want to go back. I got one more verse here. Let's go ahead and had several more things I wanted to say. Two things I wanted to mention. Verse 22. I thought about this. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. I talked about the birds singing and their song that they have. And I thought about the wind through the trees. And you ever sit out and just listen to that? You know, it's growing up around Memphis and Mississippi, you know, we had what we called the blues. And you had some of that, the sound to it was a little more, not a sad sound, but it was just the music to it, not necessarily in words, but and you wonder sometimes when you hear the wind blow, or not necessarily the birds chirping, but as it goes through the trees or a storm coming up, you wonder if that's not the groaning it's talking about here, that you can hear that. It's just a anxious anxiety looking for the Creator. In other words, it's alive as well. The creation is. And let me move one other place, and I wanted to spend a little time. I wanted to mention that. I thought about that as I was reading that. Next time you're outside and it's quiet, just listen to what we would say nature, I guess, or creation, what Scripture would say, and just listen for the sounds that you hear. All right, one more place, and I got to get out of the way here so we can get to the service. Got a minute or two. I want to get this verse number 28 there in Romans. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And I jotted these things down. It's really the only thing I wrote down. I got that verse and I said, what are all things? Because it's hard sometimes. You have a death in the family, lose a loved one, whether it be a child, mom, dad. My brother and I talk about that sometimes. He said, all things work together for good. He and I were talking one time, and we were talking about this, and it's been a few years ago, and he had calculated it up. He said, you and I, do you realize you and I, he said, at our age, and he told me, before I was probably in my 30s, he's late 20s, he said, we've been a pallbearer about 15, 16 different times. He said, a lot of those have been family. He said, so that means, he said, if you take out you and I being 12, 13 years old and put us at about 15, 16, he said, so about 15, 20 years, about once a year, we're laying somebody we know to rest. And he said, we're awful young to be doing that. And I couldn't believe my brother. He's not the deep thinker. You know, he's the one where I'd come up behind him on the car sometimes, you know, in the car, and I'd go to pass him. He'd speed up a little bit, and I'd say, now, why are you doing that? I said, you don't need to be speeding down the road. And he said, well, I knew you wouldn't pass me. I said, why? He said, you won't hold to it. He said, you won't hold it on the floor. He said, I will. That's right. That's the difference between me and him. And Kim will tell you that right now. She goes, yeah, that's the difference. And, we'd be on an old road or something, and be four lane, be late, and I'd be coming in. And he did that one time. He wouldn't let me get around him. If speed limit 65, he might have been doing 70, 75, and I was going to ease around him. Didn't think he knew it was me, but he did. And I said, I backed off, and he said, well, that's because you won't hold to it. You won't hold it down. He said, you start thinking about it too much. And he's right. But I couldn't believe when he said that, I thought about that. He said, all things work together for good. And he was like, he was asking me a question. And I said, yeah, Chad, that's right. They do. And he said, well, then why do some have these things occur in their lives and others have, you know, and I said, I don't know. But anyway, when I was studying this, that came to mind. I jotted these things down and we're done. Good and bad. Light and dark. Bitter and sweet. Easy and hard. Happy and sad. Prosperity and poverty. Health and sickness. Here goes back to creation, as we was talking about earlier. It's come to mind as I was thinking about it. I told you about the storm and the wind and just listening sometimes as it goes through the trees or as it comes up on the horizon. Calm and storm. Comfort and suffering. Life and death. They all, as we told here, all things work together for good to them that love God. So that's how I was going to finish this morning. I hope you got something out of that. I got way off what I was intending to talk about. Got over there and stuck with Ecclesiastes and Solomon. And you guys know I like Solomon, but I didn't think about being over there this morning. But I guess that's where the Lord wanted us to go. So each day, even today, as we go through the day, think about where your home is, where we're going to. There'll be a day we'll be raptured out of here if we don't die first. And if we do, we'll all meet in heaven and all be one big family again and sharing God's inheritance that He's had for us.